Auburn's SEC opener just got so much better.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Auburn's first three games, kickoff times were announced, and the SEC opener versus Florida just got awesome. Can't wait for that one. We're going to break that one down. We're going to talk about the Auburn-Florida rivalry as a whole. And, hey, nutty things happen when it's Auburn versus Florida in Jordan-Hare under the lights. We're going to talk about that and how important it is when you're talking about these first three games to get off to a good start. The opportunity is there for Auburn to do it. We're going to dive right in, but before we do that, we got to give a quick shout out to Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Go to Calendly, calendly.com/Ford Stokes. And if you listen to the show, you can go to that link and you can book an appointment directly into his calendar. Get that free portfolio analysis, Social Security maximization report, and plan, financial plan, all the way to your 95th birthday. If you're going to plan for retirement, hey, you got to do it before you retire. So show them some love. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth. Like I mentioned, the first three game times were released yesterday from Auburn's social media account. Here you go, right here. You're going to have Auburn versus Baylor at 2:30, which I don't think is a surprise to anyone, on ABC primetime in Atlanta. Then you come home and you have your technically it's not your home opener, but it is your home opener versus Southern Miss, and it's either going to be on ESPNU at 6:30 or the SEC Network at 6:45. Regardless, it's a night game, your first game in Jordan-Hare for 2026 under the lights. And then the big one, the SEC home opener versus Florida, 6 o'clock under the lights. That's exciting. When you have all the turmoil and, you know, the blowback from announcing the night game, I'm sorry, the home game versus Baylor move to Atlanta, this softens the blow a little bit. Everybody loves night games. And believe it or not, like, some of the times have been a little bit controversial. Like, some of the SEC teams have not been happy with their opening TV time slots. And I think Auburn really hit the lottery. I think you could not ask for much better. You get a primetime 2:30 slot, and then you get two night games. One of them's going to be on, you know, whatever, SEC Network, ESPNU, doesn't matter, and then you get your home opener under the lights where, again, we're going to talk about it where crazy things happen. Arkansas got – I mean, at the end of the day, this is not, like, that big of a deal, but Arkansas kind of got hosed. They play, I believe – it's either the home opener or the second game. They play out west, and it's a late game. So they play a late game out west, and then they have to fly all the way back, and then they turn around, and they have to play Georgia at like an 11 o'clock kickoff. So there was a very strongly worded email, I think, from Arkansas's athletic director or statement or whatever, talking about how disappointed he is, and they lose almost a whole day preparing. And you know what? I was going to drop a bag on Arkansas versus Georgia. I thought Arkansas, no matter what the line was, this was their year. This was their year to either cover or win outright. And now that they lose 10 hours, I have to really rethink things. So, regardless, what do y'all think about that? What do y'all think about Auburn's kickoff times? I can't imagine better. I mean, you could get some better networks, but, I mean, you're playing Southern Miss. I know they did just have a pretty decent run with Charles Huff They've now moved to Blake Anderson, who's a journeyman head coach. Really cool story behind him, too. But, yeah, you don't have – there's not much to gripe about. There's really not. You got the – again, primetime, night game, SEC opener under the lights. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, I mean, you still got to go out on the field and win the games. But with – and, again, we'll talk about the importance of getting off to a good start in a little bit, but – you got to think if you're going to increase your odds at all to get off to a good start, playing your SEC home opener under the lights and playing a couple of night games to get the season kicked off, you got to feel like that plays in Auburn's favor. Really, in that Florida game where nutty things happen in Jordan-Hare under the lights. Let's talk about the last couple of ones, and we'll do a break in between them. But the last couple of games that Auburn's played inside Jordan-Hare versus Florida under the lights have just been, what's the word, different. How about that? How about that? And hopefully the theme changes in Auburn. Hopefully the theme of the game changes, but the result stays the same. How about that? Is that fair? The last several times Auburn's played Florida under the lights, obviously they've come out with a win going back to 2001. In all three games, weird stuff happened. Let's start with 2011, the most recent one. Auburn wins that game 17-6. It was absolutely the worst offensive performance for both teams that I think I've ever seen. It was just awful. Auburn's defense was incredible, but Florida was really, really bad on offense that year. They had rotating quarterbacks with Jeff Driscoll, Jacoby Brissett, and then, you know, they even had Trey Burton coming in and taking some snaps at quarterback. And then Auburn obviously had the Clint Mosley and Barrett Trotter. They were rotating a little bit as well. Auburn was 1-for-13 on third downs in that game. Could not convert on third down. Somehow scored two touchdowns. I know that there's a long touchdown, or longish touchdown pass to D'Angelo Benton. Shout out. That's a blast from the past right there. And then, side note, everybody remembers on signing day when that fax came in for D'Angelo Benton, how freaking pumped we were. He was like a five-star. He had signed with LSU and maybe had some qualification issues. And then I think he went to like did he go to Hargrave or did he go JUCO? I think he went to like that Hargrave Military Academy or something. There was something about his first signing that didn't really go through. And then on signing day, like there was no lead up to it. His signing papers just came into Auburn. Anyway, I digress. He caught a longish touchdown pass. I think there was a touchdown rush as well. Missed a bunch of field goals. Just the most putrid game. And honestly, it never really felt like – I mean, you always kind of felt like even then that the big play was going to happen and Florida was somehow going to win that game. But it just never did. And I remember a really deep pass where Tasharvin Bell had an interception that felt like at the time it kind of deflated any chance that Florida had. But, yeah, that was just a – nasty, ugly. I don't even remember it being like overly physical. It was like both teams could not get out of their own way on offense. And Auburn just ended up winning the game at the end. There's two more that are even crazier than that. And we're going to talk about those in just a second. But before we do that, we got to give a quick shout out to buyauburn.com. Go to buyauburn.com today. If you're an Auburn business owner, it's less than a dollar a day to list your business, and you get an opportunity for the very first – I think we're going to go through the first 100 signups. You get an opportunity to have your own business spotlight podcast on our channel. We've done three of those so far. We're going to start dropping. We're going to continue to drop one every single week. A lot of fun. Help expose your business to more Auburn fans. makes sense, right? If you're an Auburn fan, do business with Auburn people. And if you're an Auburn business owner, you want to, you know, you want Auburn people to know about you. So this is the hub to do that. So it's buyauburn.com. And then if you need a good real estate agent in the Auburn, Opelika area, hit me up. It's Kyle Rush at kw.com. I got some townhomes, a really good investment opportunity. You need to ask me about them. Email me. You can get your first year interest rate as low as 3.25%. So if you're looking to get some property in the Auburn, Opelika area within, you know, shouting distance to the stadium, hit me up. I'd love to help you out. It's Kyle Rush again at kw.com. The email. We'll be back right after this. All right, let's keep the train rolling. The next one, Under the Lights versus Florida at home, I still think is one of the loudest games I've ever been to. One of the best games I've ever been to as well, and that goes back to 2006. You played Florida at home on October 14th in 2006, and remember, that team, that 2006 team was good. That their defense was incredible. There was some awesome games that particular year. Offense was hit or miss. Sometimes it would be a really, they would be unstoppable, and then sometimes it would be a game like this where you win the game and I don't think you scored an offensive touchdown. Defense was just incredible. Remember, that's the game that had the, you know, blocked punt where Trey Smith, you still see the highlights today where Trey Smith does a, you know, a front flip into the end zone. I was actually a student at the time and I'm in that end zone. And I can remember jumping up. And if you know the stadium, so you got the flat concrete steps, okay? And then you have the little aluminum bench that's like, you know what, 2 inches off the ground from there. So I remember being standing on that aluminum bench and jumping up and coming down, and like 1 foot was on the concrete and the other, like the tip of my toe landed on the aluminum part, but like most of my weight was back, and just rolled my ankle, and the adrenaline just kept me going until the end of the game. And I remember having to walk back, and like my ankle had already started to swell to the point where I had to take my shoe off. Like it was just, it was incredible. And then the end of the game, if you go back and watch the replay, the end of the game, they go to try to do the, you know, the kickoff where you do the laterals all over the place. And when they fumble and Auburn picks it up, I think it was Patrick Lee, picks it up and runs it in, it's so loud that the Skycam is shaking. Like you'll see the Skycam and it's shaking. The camera on the stadium shaking. Like it was crazy. Just going back and looking. Auburn did not score an offensive touchdown. You had the block punt, you had a fumble return, something like that, and then you had at 4 field goals. Just crazy game. That's the game that, you know, you obviously you had Tim Tebow that was coming in, rotating in with Chris Leak. What else was crazy in the game? Trey Blackmon. That was the Trey Blackmon game where you had the whole, did he throw it forward or did he, was he tucking it or you know, talking about Chris Leak when Trey Blackmon created a fumble that really changed the momentum of the game. Like just nutty, nutty stuff happened in that game. Tell me if you've been to that game and you've been to other loud games. That's got to be up there. That's got to be like top 3 to 5 as far as just the crowd being so insanely loud. I know everybody's going to say 1989 versus Alabama, and that's fine. I wasn't there, but I trust you. If you say that's the loudest one, then I trust you. But I really – this one's, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was just the perfect storm of it being at night and it was Florida coming in super high ranked. And I don't know what it was, but it was so dadgum loud for that game. And then you go back just a couple of years before that, and a very similar theme of when you talk about Auburn offense struggling and somehow pulling out a gutty win, you go back to 2001 and it's the Damon Duval, you know, wild kick to win that game. I just want to pull up some stats versus that game, because that one was another one that was just crazy how Auburn could get like nothing done on offense, but just somehow figured out how to, you know, somehow figure out how to win that game. For whatever reason, ESPN has absolutely nothing on that game. I'm going to have to go to Football Reference. But yeah, remember it was, I'm trying to think, that was like, you had like Daniel Cobb, you had the, I think Jason Campbell was here at the time, but yeah, he played some in the game, but it was mostly Daniel Cobb, and he was like 11 of 23 in the game, you know, for 152 yards, just not a lot, 239 total offensive yards. So just really couldn't get, we had several turnovers. I think your defense just played incredible. And Florida's Rex Grossman just, I mean, he did throw for 364 yards, but somehow he threw four interceptions. I do remember that now. And what's funny is like the year prior, they just waxed us. And Rex Grossman made the comment something like, I think they scored on like maybe their first four drives or something. And he was like, man, even our scout team stops us, you know, one out of four times or something like that. He made a comment like that. So coming into this particular game, it was, you know, like a revenge. There was a revenge factor, and that defense played unreal. Created a bunch of turnovers. I think Florida had five total in that game, which is just nuts. And then it's 20-20 at the end of the game, and it's just terrible weather. Awful weather, and with 10 seconds to go, Damon Duval hits that 44-yard field goal that, you know, in my mind, starts out wider right every time I think about it. But it felt like it was a good at least 5 yards outside of the right, goalpost. And hooks back in with the wind and with a little draw spin on it. And honestly, goes like right down the middle. It was just incredible. But that's what I'm talking about, man. Like, crazy things happen in this rivalry in general. Crazy things happen in this rivalry in general. It's good to have, you know, them back. I mean, I know it's not a permanent rivalry, but like, there was a time when you played them every year. So it's good to play this game. Crazy things happen on both sides. I think even, you know, the last time they played in 2019, that was the game where Auburn's defense was just, again, it seems to be a recurring theme. Auburn's defense is spectacular, and you can't get anything going on offense. Hopefully that changes this year, and you can get something going on offense, and you can just have a good game on both sides of the ball. Okay, the table's set. The table is set for the opportunity for Auburn to have a good start to the year. Again, you're playing in Atlanta versus Baylor, a team you should outmatch player for player across the board. Your roster's better than Baylor's, period, on paper. So that's a check. You're playing in Atlanta. I know it's not Auburn. It's going to be a very, very friendly Auburn crowd. That's number two, okay? Also, Atlanta's not that far from Auburn. It's a very far distance from Waco. You got your coach. You got your that brought his quarterback. That's got the offensive system. You retained your defensive coordinator, who brought a lot of players back. You feel good about the defense. Like, you got everything on your side. You're already favored in the game. So you got that one. Then you move to Southern Miss, which you should outmatch and outclass again. You get to play them under the lights. That just ramps up the intensity that much more. So even if it's one of those sleepwalking games, the crowd's going to be – it's going to be really tough for the crowd to let you sleepwalk through that game. You're going to be amped up, handle business there. And then you got your, you know, your Florida matchup that has a lot of storylines in and of itself. When you talk about, you know, the Summerall and the Golish deal, like, did Auburn miss out on Summerall? Was that their top choice? He goes to Florida. Then you got Golish, obviously coming, ending up at Auburn. Two first-year head coaches. Both of them, I think, have the same agent. A lot of cross connections with both. Golish beats Florida last year. Obviously, they want to get revenge because there's a lot of those same players. There's just so many storylines, but you get them under the lights, hopefully, after coming off of two big wins. The book is out. The book is written on what could be a really, really good start to the year. And I know we haven't even talked about Vanderbilt, who comes up next at home, because that time hasn't been released yet. But man, oh man, you got everything on. You got all the ammo you need. You got all the most favorable conditions to start this season off 3-0. Not being able to start this season off 3-0 would be pretty, would be very deflating, considering all of the pros, all of the, you know, I'm losing the word. It's like benefit, all of the things that you have in your corner. If you can't get it done, it would be really, really deflating. So it's very important to get off to a really, really good start this year. Guys, let me know what you think. How pumped are you? Are you coming? I've already seen Chandler Wooten, you know, from Landing on the Plains. He's already said he's tapping in. He's going to be here. Obviously, it's going to be a event. There's going to be a lot of people itching for good Auburn football. And it's your SEC opener. A lot of fun. Guys, let me know what you think. Don't forget to like and subscribe. We appreciate everybody's support. Hit me in the comments. I respond to pretty much every single one. If I can, I try to respond to every single one. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk again soon. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.